Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus, the coming Christ. Amen. When we think of people wrestling with God in the Bible, our minds immediately turn to Jacob, who wrestled with an angel at night, a fight to the finish, in which Jacob demanded a blessing from God before he would let go. But there were many others who wrestled with God in the Bible, though not literally. Our long Old Testament lesson for today is an example of one who wrestles with God. Habakkuk is an interesting little book toward the end of the Old Testament. He is considered a minor prophet, and we know little about him other than those few pages that are written in his name. In fact, though, if your preachers at Bethel offered to you whatever it is that Habakkuk offers to his people, you wouldn't come back. You would wonder if your preachers even believed in God. It starts with the very first verse of his book. O Lord, how long shall I cry to you, and you do not listen? Habakkuk complains of violence and destruction, of perverted justice. He clearly lives in a day of godlessness prevailing, and he wonders why God does not do anything. Why are you not doing anything to change this? Whoa, little prophet man, God says, I'm doing something. I'm raising up the Chaldeans, whom we better know as Babylonians. Those Chaldeans will come. They'll take care of everybody. They are fast and swift. They will destroy all the injustice in Judah. Habakkuk is flabbergasted. He says, God, you believe this is an answer? That you will raise up a powerful enemy to squash us like bugs? And his complaint continues. He says, why is it, God, that the wicked can put their hooks into the sea and snag people left and right with rejoicing? Why is it that the wicked can throw their nets into the sea and they have to raise them and take people out left and right because they are so good at demolishing the nations of the earth without mercy? And then Habakkuk believes that with these two major complaints, he has said his piece. So he's just going to wait. He's going to wait on his righteous little hill until God gives him a holy word. The holy word is not long in coming. And the answer is no different than God's first answer. Indeed, the Babylonians are coming, but they, in their haughtiness too, will be judged as a nation on the earth. Woe to those who are greedy, says God. Woe to those who spill blood. Woe to those who plunder the nations. God will again reign over heaven and earth, and the Babylonians will fall. Be patient. The Babylonians are only a tool. Meanwhile, and this is a big meanwhile, you all live by faith. God says it through Habakkuk. The righteous will live by faith. And we hear some of that faith in the last chapter, the third chapter of Habakkuk. Habakkuk, having seen all the destruction and the violence, the injustice in the earth, is treated to a new vision, a vision of God's splendor and power, a vision of God caring for his people. He ends his vision with, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exult in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. That is an amazing conversion. from a man who sees only the misery of the world to a petulant child who just waits for God to talk. Finally, to one who praises God for all of God's work in the world. Now, it is not hard in our day to find prophets of doom, even as Habakkuk was a prophet of doom. We need to alter our way of life, or we are doomed to climate change. Or perhaps we have already crossed the line so that there is nothing we can do to save our earth. Our staggering national debt has doomed our children and our grandchildren to oppressive taxes. Our political system is so broken, there is no hope for this experiment called democracy. The global economic climate is on the brink of collapse. You've heard all these. I don't think I need to go any further. Perhaps you resonate with some of these things, or with Habakkuk, who sees only the destruction of the earth. Then you have asked God, "Why, God, are you not doing anything? Why are you doing nothing to change?" There, we have set our peace, so we can just wait for God's answer. Or not. We could be instructed by Habakkuk's conversion in his three little chapters. We could, instead of seeing only misery, start to move to the place of the praise of God by seeing a new vision, a vision of God's caring for his people. A vision of the righteous living by faith, that which is trumpeted over and over in the New Testament, that which becomes a cornerstone for Martin Luther and the reformers. The fact is, kingdoms and nations will come, kingdoms and nations will fall. Israel fell to the Assyrians fell to the Babylonians overtook Jerusalem and Judah, but then Egypt rose as a world power, and by the time Jesus was born, Rome was at the top. Some suggest in our day that the United States is on its last legs. I personally don't believe that, but it is hard to believe that the United States will last forever. As we see the history of the world, but there is one who is forever. It is the sovereign Lord God, the one who ultimately rules over heaven and earth. His ways are not our ways. We sometimes don't understand what God is telling us, and we certainly don't want to wait for an answer. But in the meantime, we live by faith. That is the answer. Even Jesus says it's the answer in our gospel text for today. He says that faith can pick up mountains and throw them into the sea. Have faith, people. Now Habakkuk is answered by God temporarily. When he asks, "Why are you not doing anything?" God says, "I am doing something. I'm sending the Babylonians." Only a temporary answer. Hundreds of years later, God gives his final answer to Habakkuk and to all the world. It begins with a baby born into a manger. With this first day of Advent, we come to a season of waiting and watching and hoping. But we already know that for which we are waiting and watching. This one is the hope of the world. We can look around and we can see only misery. We can distrust governments and economies and people. But God's answer is going to be consistent. God's answer is the one who is the light and the life of the world. So go ahead in this Advent. Sit on your couches and ask your challenging questions of God. God actually welcomes those questions, but his answer is always going to be the same. And if you need reminding of that answer, you're welcome back here December 24th and December 25th, for that is God's final answer. Amen. Hymn 254, please.